Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Now, I'm not sure that this is going to be one of my finest intros because I've just asked the wonderful man that we're chatting to today what he likes to be referred as. And he went, just Chris. So can we just welcome Chris Barron to the podcast, who is a sustainability expert, eating well for less. He's a TV presenter. It used to be a greengrocer, but we're throwing out the questions to him today. So welcome. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. And I thought that was a tremendous intro. Sorry, I didn't realise I was absolutely giving you nothing to go on. I was trying not to be precious and show busy, you know. So
we like show biz on the podcast.
People listening who don't know you, do you want to just tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're doing on the TV and how you went from greengrocer to being on the TV?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I've been involved in fresh produce my whole life, basically, or my whole adult life. Starting off importing and selling to all the wholesale markets around the country, which is something that I really enjoyed and still do. And then in 2009, we opened The Naked Grocer, which was one of the first zero packaging, no single use plastic retailers. You know, they're becoming more common now, but in 2009, that certainly wasn't the case. And we had that for many years, many wonderful years, which was brilliant. And then through that, we won some awards. And then one day my phone rang completely out of the blue, and it was a researcher from a production company, and they said, have you ever considered being on telly? And I can honestly say, hand on heart, it had not crossed my mind for even a split second. I think now if you ask children what they want to be, you know, a vlogger or a YouTuber or a podcaster or an influencer or a TV presenter may well feature quite commonly, but you know, from a kid born in the 80s, it certainly wasn't something that I ever entertained. So actually, I sort of declined the offer because I was already very busy and said, thank you very much, but it's probably not for me. Luckily, they persisted. About 9 years ago, we did the first series of Eat Well for Less. We've just finished series 8. And amazing. I'm involved in sort of healthy eating, consumer issues, you know, sustainability issues and just general, but very sort of pragmatic, practical, achievable advice and help for people.
Yeah. And you're also a dad of three. And I can imagine that meal times in your household are incredibly busy, going from crazy to being fucking crazy. Because I know, because I've also got three little ones as well. So, you know, are the meal times really important in your house? Do you guys eat together? Do you come up with new recipes every night? What does it look like for you?
we freestyle every night. You know, we don't at all. I think it's probably probably a really good point to try and alleviate some stress and anxiety from people. I think no matter who you are or how, you know, how great you may seem, everybody has their challenges around food and feeding their family. You know, they are very, very different. But I promise you, and having worked with hundreds, if not thousands of families, I can assure you that everybody has some difficulty and challenge and concern and anxiety around this area. So look, our household is no different. It's, you know, we're not just, you know, cooking everything from scratch every night. We're all in the kitchen. You know, it's great. I love mealtimes. I think they're really important. I think it is important to sit around the table as much as humanly possible. But again, not everybody has that luxury. So I think it's about, you know, making sure that nobody's excluded from this. You know, if you can do it, brilliant. But if you can't, find another way to make it special. Find another way to make it that time of day where maybe, you know, the telly or the phone or the iPad or whatever can go off and you can have some quality time and talk. Sometimes they won't want to talk. But I think it is important, if you can, to try and to really harness that moment. I think it's magical. Yeah. It's free.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah.
It happens every day. It can happen. And I think it is, one of the most special times. Having said that, we can also have problems. You know, one of them wants to get down. One of them doesn't want to eat that. One of them wants to hit their brother. One of them wants to do something else. It's not, we're not the Waltons, you know, and I get that. No.
Welcome, darlings. Look what I've prepared. We've actually started doing something because Georgia actually taught me the importance of eating round as a family, even though I did it as a kid. No, you did, because for me, those meal times were so chaotic that I got it into my head that I would just, the kids would eat in the playroom, the TV would be on, it would be a moment I could bring the dinner out and then I could just answer a few emails. And, you know, I didn't really fancy eating my dinner at 5 o'clock anyway, because I wanted to wait for Dozer or whatever. But recently I've started to bring the table back into it. In fact, the table I've got downstairs is the table that I grew up eating around that belonged to my dad. And it's really lovely. But the resistance that I'm getting from the kids now, where I say to them, look, you're not having your breakfast in the playroom, we're going to eat around, you know, we have breakfast together, they start crying, they want to sit in front, and I'm like, no, I'm having to stick firm. I feel like they love it once they get there, but getting them to it, it's been quite an eye-opener for me. And I realize actually how important it is for us to have those moments together, like you said, when the TV isn't blaring.
I know, it's lovely. I was going to say, because I've sort of gone from my husband being home at like 3:30 in the afternoon and all of us eating together to almost now I can't do that. What I now try to do, because obviously there'll be lots of parents listening who don't get home in time to eat with their kids. So what we're doing now is I sit down with the kids and eat their dinner with them, and I might just eat like an apple, or, you know, like I'm just sitting with them, because I found it weirdly, when James wasn't there anymore and I was just giving the kids their dinner, they didn't really eat very much.
Didn't really engage with it.
No. Yeah. And so they were actually quite used to sitting down, having no distractions. But it is still a challenge.
Well, never easy. I think there's lots of points in there. I think one being, if you do need to sit them in the playroom or the front room with the telly on for your own peace of mind every now and again, do it. Like, you know, that's whatever you need to do to get through. Life is hard, you know, and it you know, the varying degrees of challenges for people. So if you have to do that, do it. But when you can, if you can, I would strongly recommend it. Eat Well for Less. When we're chatting when we finish, and you know, it's a big process for them. They're involved in the process for the best part of 2 weeks. You know, quite intrusive, quite full on. And you say, like, what's the best bit about what's been the best bit? What have you enjoyed most? And that family time sitting around a table is always without exception the highlight. Yeah. I would love it one day to be meeting me, but I get it, you know. but it is always a case. And actually, going on to another point that you said about how the kids eat better when you're sat there. Like, I think lots of parents will recognize the statement that, oh, they eat very well at school, or they eat their dinner at school.
Yeah.
Now, it can't be a coincidence that they are sat around with their peer group, with no phone, with no telly, with no distractions. Obviously, school has a different, you know, discipline and all of that, and I get that. But there are also lots of similarities and synergies that you can adopt in your own home as well. And lots of parents will hear, oh, they eat fine at school, they try new things, they do this, but they play up for you at home. Part of that is, there are a million and one different distractions, and having you sat at the table and having, you know, their siblings or whatever sat around the table will absolutely encourage. It won't, it's not, you know, there is no silver bullet, but lots of small things can add up to make a big difference.
Big difference.
I think, you know, taking that time is 100% one of those things.
Chris, before we get into the Q&A today, can I just ask you a question? Forgive me, this isn't my area of expertise, but I wanted to ask you a question about the supermarkets. So for example, take Waitrose and let's take Lidl. Are there different manufacturers, is that the right word, that are sending food, fruit and veg to, for example, would there be a different farmer that sends their meat to Waitrose than they would send to Lidl? Why are the prices so different?
So there's lots of different reasons for that. In the short answer, some suppliers will be supplying both what the discounters and the premium supermarkets, 100%. Like, that will definitely be happening. In some instances, it might be a slightly different product. It might have different welfare or different, you know, quality assurances or different, you know, whatever it might be, whatever the product is, it might be slightly different. It might be slightly better. In lots of cases, it can be exactly the same. So if you go into a discounter and pick up an apple, there is a distinct possibility that you may, from the same grower,
yeah,
in every single one of those supermarkets, yeah, 100%. How are they cheaper? They offer different, they are different, very different things. I mean, your shopping experience in a premium supermarket is probably slightly different, yeah, to one in a discounter. The range, the choice, the customer service, the benefits, the free parking, the, you know, all of these different things, right, they all come with a cost. But yeah, you shop wherever you want to, and you can get value in all of the supermarkets. In say, if you went into Tesco's or Sainsbury's, they will have products that are the same price as Aldi and Lidl. What, yes, Aldi and Lidl don't do, though, is give you any choice. So if you have cornflakes, ketchup, beans and bread on your list and you go into Aldi or Lidl,
you'll only
have one option.
Right.
And it will be the cheapest option. Whereas if you go into another supermarket, your same list, you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different options. One of those options will be as cheap, possibly even cheaper than the discounters. But will you always go for the cheapest? I think we are inherently geared up to maybe not go for the cheapest one and maybe go, yeah, one or two up.
Yeah, we go like middle, yeah, ground.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it?
I really love Aldi. I get like loads of vegetables and fruit and stuff from there when I can. And I think I was actually inspired to go from Eat Well for Less and my husband being like, look, you can't tell the difference between the branded stuff. And I did try and do that almost like myself, you know, like going and buying the non-branded products in there.
But I remember that.
Yeah, but recently I sort of flipped between Ocado and Aldi, which are like obviously totally different ends of the spectrum. But Ocado is my convenience. So if I've got a particularly busy week, I'll shop and get some bits on Ocado. And then if I have got time to go to Aldi, I will. And I'll enjoy it when I go. I love going and seeing what I can get in there.
It's an adventure.
She does. She does. She takes films of it. She takes photos of it. Everyone knows when she's in Aldi.
I've been like an ambassador because I do actually really love it. But I don't see that much difference in the quality. For me, it is usually the convenience. There might be a few things that I'm only getting out of.
They make me £1 in the trolleys now and I've never got any bloody money on me. So when I go to Tesco, you've got a quid in.
You can use the end of a door key.
You can use 2 20 pences.
You can use 2 20 pence. You can, see.
You can get little key ring fobs as well. So why don't you do that? Or maybe I'll get you one for Christmas. So it's a little key ring fob. And it sits on your keys, which you will always have your keys, yes, presumably. And then you put it in, boom, and then, you know, it's, you've always, but yes, I get it. It is inconvenient.
Right, well, let's get into this. So many questions.
Yeah. George?
Yeah, I'll kick us off with this one. Good batch cooking recipes that I can freeze and bang in the oven.
Brilliant. Well, there's tons. There are tons and tons and tons and tons. You can basically batch cook most things and then freeze it. I think the key is to how you freeze it. So freeze it in portions. So if you're batch cooking, and I think batch cooking is one of the most amazing things you can do. I think it's one of the greatest tools in a parent's armory or even a single person's armory to save themselves time, save themselves money and reduce their food waste. I think batch cooking, Sunday while I'm doing the roast, I will have 3 or 4 different pans going on for meals for the rest of the week. And they will consist of things like a bolognese. First of all, you start with a foundation and then you can take that into lots of different ways. So I'll start with a great big vat of like a ragu or bolognese or tomato based sauce. And then from that, I can make 2 or 3 different things, whether that be a cottage pie, a shepherd's pie, a chili con carne, a lasagna, whatever it might be. I'll get a pie on the go, fish pie. Not every week. Like, I'm not like, don't get me. I'm not, oh, I'm so amazing. And if you're not doing this, you're not, you know.
I went a bit gooey then. Did you see me? I was like, wow, he does all of that. I've only got one sauce pan.
If you're in the kitchen, like it is no different to chopping one onion to four onions. Like, it's like, if you're making the mess, make the mess.
Yeah.
And you've got one big cling down, you know, it's so much more efficient in terms of cost and time and energy and all of these things, you know, and it's just bubbling away and you don't have to do it. And then, you know, then life just gets a bit less stressful during the week. So, you know, I'll make a katsu curry sauce or a big batch of curry or something. And some things not only freeze really well, actually, when you, because the, you know, the water expands in the freezing process, sometimes that flavor can intensify. So you need to be careful if you are batch cooking and for if you are batch cooking with the process of freezing and reheating and eating a later date, slightly underspice or slightly under season your food, because that flavor will intensify in the freezing in process. So, you know, just be slightly mindful of that. But freeze things in portions. That way, if you are to, you know, when it comes to mealtime, you don't have to get the whole thing out and defrost the whole thing, which then means that has to be eaten.
What do you put them in? What do you put? What, Tupperwares or?
It depends on what it is. I think, you know, freezer bags are perfect.
Oh, right.
You know, you get these reusable ones. So that's important. Yeah. Get a reusable freezer bag. So A, it's cheaper and much better for the environment. Flatten it out so then it defrosts quicker. So and takes less space. So you sort of, if you fill your bag up, zip it up, flatten it down. So now you've got like a very thin, you know, bag of whatever it
you
might be.
You can stack them, can't you?
You can stack them up. It's important to write what's on there and when it went in the freezer, because there is no point in just putting stuff in the freezer to throw it away in 5 years'
this
time.
Is what you I know, do.
Lots of people do that. Don't worry, but just because you look at it and go, what the heck is that? Mm-hmm. Like,
that could either be bolognese, that could be a vegetable, that could be stock, that could be
anything.
Yeah,
could be,
it just looks like mush.
Get a Sharpie, write it on the. Yeah, okay, yeah, love
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, get a little label, get a Sharpie or whatever, just write on there what it is and when you put it in there. And
okay.
And I promise you, if you can make the time. Like, if you're making, like, and we're cooking all the time, aren't we? We're cooking at least once a day. There's not, just make double.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem with that is that if I don't freeze it really quickly and I leave it in the fridge, I'm like, oh, that'd be perfect for the kids' lunch tomorrow. And then my husband comes back in and I just find him in his pants by the fridge,
eating
cold bolognese off a spoon. I go, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, well, yeah. I've got a man's got to eat, and it's gone. So I need to get it in the freezer really quickly. That's what I need to do.
Well, or maybe you need to make three lots. So
I
they
do.
Can be like, you know, the pant eating, you know, the R White secret bolognese eater of an evening. And then one goes in the one for today, one for next week, and one for the husband's week.
Love that. Yeah. Right. Any tips on meal planning, please, Chris?
Do it. That's my biggest tip. Do it. I think it's, everybody thinks that meal planning is the most arduous chore. It's not. It can be fun. Make it fun. So get everybody that's going to eat the meals should be sat around that table, piece of paper, pencil, crayon, whatever you want to do, and then go, right, who wants to eat what next week? And then you just write the list down. So spaghetti bolognese, fish pie, I want, you know, sausage and chips, I want, you know, whatever it might be, write them all down, decide what day you're going to have each meal on, and then write a list of the ingredients you need to make those meals with, then cross-reference that list with what you already have. That's your shopping list, and it will take no longer than 10 minutes, and it will save you. So people don't plan because they say it's too much effort, it takes too long, it's boring, I feel restricted and constrained by it, but there is nothing more time consuming, boring, or constrictive than every day having the same age old conversation. What's for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. What have we got? Well, what do you fancy? Well, oh my, that ground to every, and this is going up. This conversation is going on in millions and millions and millions of households every single day. That's boring.
Yeah.
What isn't boring is having spent 10 minutes on a Sunday evening jotting down the meals you're all going to have. That does two things. Not only now, they go, what's for dinner? It's on the fridge. It's da-da-da-da, like you asked for. So you not only know what you're going to be eating, you know you've got everything you need to make those meals. Then also, nobody can disagree because, well, you were there on Sunday or Monday when, you know, you were there when we did our meal plan. You agreed to it. So this is what we're having. That's that. And give them control. Like, let everybody choose a day and make it, try and make it fun if you can. Maybe, and I get some people don't want to, you know, they people feel a bit panicked by knowing what they're going to eat. But realistically, we eat the same meals on rotation anyway.
This leads us on to the next question. How not to use the same 5-meal rotation? Sick of making new things, no one eats.
No one eats. Brilliant. Yeah,
it's tough. And we all do it. Everybody's got their, and it's a great thing. Having a repertoire of meals that you're really familiar with and know how to make, you know, off the top of your head is a great, great thing. So I think sometimes we have a negative connotation of that. Like, I had the same 7 meals on rotation growing up. Like, we almost bar, you know, almost no variation.
7, I think, is quite good.
Yeah.
7,
it's, there's nothing wrong with it. But I get it doesn't work for everyone. That's absolutely fine. So what I would suggest with that is look at what those meals are. And then from those meals, tweak one or two of them. So if you always have spaghetti bolognese, for example, maybe try burritos, maybe try, you know, enchiladas or something that is very recognizable, very similar, made from the same sort of components, but you just take it in a slightly different direction. You know, if you always have, say, bolognese with pasta, maybe have it with a jacket potato, maybe make it into a cottage pie or a shepherd's pie, maybe make it into a chili con carne and have it with rice, maybe have it in wraps or whatever. You know, there's weight, but it ultimately, it's the same meal that everybody recognises and everybody likes, but you've just changed it. You've taken it in a slightly different direction.
We've started to bring in chicken fajitas and they've gone down an absolute storm. And I think, George, you gave me that. We're putting them on the table and they're pulling in the chicken and putting the cheese on the top. And it's just like a bit of a thing. It's quite exciting for them.
With my kids, if they're being a bit fussy, if we do like build your own something, whatever it is, like fajitas, perfect. Yeah. Then they end up adding things in that they wouldn't normally add in, which seems to work.
1,000,000%. I think I'm an absolute huge advocate and believer in communal eating. I think that just opens the world to lots of different possibilities. I think when you look at what children will and won't eat, a lot of it is about control. They don't have control over a great deal of their life, but what they put in their mouth is one of those things. So they will, and there's nothing, you know, God, blimey. I mean, partly I'm greedy anyway, so I love those sharing platters and mixing and matching and all of that. I think that's great. But sometimes having that single plate of food put down in front of you is quite overwhelming for a child. I don't think we nail portion control particularly well. I think sometimes we put it down and it's suddenly you've just given them, it's like giving them a massive book to read. They've just gone, oh, I'm never going to, you know, and then all the problems come from that. So I think that sharing platter, that communal eating, putting stuff in the middle and saying, look, I don't want you to eat everything, but just help yourself to a few things. You will be amazed. You will be surprised at what they will choose to put on their own plate. The other benefit of that is once, and get them to serve themselves a little and often. So take a little bit, eat it, and take a bit more. Encourage that style of eating. And then what happens then is whatever's left is untouched, is uncontaminated. And those now can be the basis of another meal because they're not contaminated by ketchup or, you know, half chewed or messed around or all mushed up together. So, you know, no one wants to be reusing plate waste. That's, you know, I hate food waste, but even for me, that's a stretch. But if they've helped themselves from the middle of the table, whatever's left is untouched. Therefore, you can then turn that into many, many different meals the following day or whatever.
I like that.
Brilliant. Okay, so I guess, easy weaning meals that everyone can eat. I mean,
so I think you have to be careful of it. It depends on the ages, obviously. You know, we're talking about first taste, we're talking about textures, we're talking about introducing different things. I think as soon as you can get them to eat something similar to what you're eating, I think that's great. I think, you know, as long as you have to be sensible, you have to chop things up finely, you have to make sure that there are no choking hazards. But there's lots of things that you can make the family meal and then just blitz up and give to the little one. So I think that's a great way. Not only are you introducing them to new flavors, different flavors, but you're not making a completely separate meal. I will caveat that with you need to be sensible and careful with seasoning and flavoring and spicing and all of those things. But you can do it in a way that you don't season your the dish. You take some out, blend or blitz that up, and then you start to build the flavour back into to the family.
I was about to say that. Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say that. You can take stuff off, can't you, George? And then you can, you know, season your one with salt and pepper and whatever other spices and whatever you're using, and then you can just take a little bit for baby and then just put that down in front of them, depending on, you know, the age that they're at. But yeah, that's what I used to do. And also, we're big, we love salmon in this house. So when I was eating salmon, I used to put it off and put it on Kit's top of it. And he just used to, you know, it's just finger food that he can just mush in his mouth. Yeah.
Like we were just talking about with fajitas, like if you do all the bits separate, so like maybe the chicken, not so much if it's already got spices on it. But you know, like if you've chopped the peppers and you've just sort of stir fried those by themselves, and then you've got maybe, I don't know, whatever, we put avocado in ours, but like slices of avocado or, you know, whatever, then they can have all those little bits and pieces, can't they?
Yeah.
And then you can use them again the next day, like you said.
Just give them a little jalapeno, you know.
Yeah, why not? Go straight in
not?
There.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this short break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
I'm so guilty of this. How to cook anything other than pasta bakes. It's getting ridiculous in this house. I make so much pasta. Then I'm like, oh, I do something different. Orzo. I do orzo instead. And it's
what's
just
orzo?
Pasta.
Just why different... is it called orzo? What's it made of?
Because it's kind of like rice. Like it's like mixture, isn't it? Rice, pasta.
Oh. So I recognise this enormously. And I don't, first of all, I don't think there's anything wrong with pasta. So it's quick. It's easy. The kids love it. So I don't think we should be too hard on ourselves about having pasta, but yes, I get, we don't want to be eating it too much. If we can look at maybe, you know, introducing, you know, the tricolour colour pasta, you know, the reds and the greens and the wholemeal, maybe, you know, that might be a slightly interesting alternative that they may or may not like. If you can use a bit of wholemeal pasta, that would be fabulous as well. But I think again, it's look at what you're serving that pasta with. And if you're having, you know, primarily tomato-based sauces with it or mints or whatever, then try and take that flavour and ingredient into something else, whether that be something like, you know, enchiladas or fajitas or burritos have it with rice or if you're having, say you're having tuna pasta bake, maybe try and make a fish cake. Like, it, take a flavour that they love and whether, you know, and then look at expanding or taking that flavor, and so you're not completely, you know, reinventing the wheel. If they love tuna sweet corn pasta bake, make a tuna sweet corn fish cake or croquette or hash or whatever, you know, don't do it all at once. Don't take their pasta away and introduce a ton of new flavors as well and just go, I'm sick of it, this is what you're having. and make it a big thing. And look, at the end of the day, the pasta, like adults eat pasta, like there's nothing wrong with pasta. It's what you're having it with. And pasta bake is as long as they're getting some veggies in there, they're getting some other flavors in there, that's not a problem. I mean, granted, I wouldn't want to eat it every day, but listen, like, please don't be too tough on yourself. Like, just try and increase the proportion or the servings of vegetables that you're having with it. Try and mix it up in different ways. Gently try and move it around and tweak it a little bit to see how you get on. But, you know, look, just don't be too hard on yourself. But I get it. I know.
Yeah, you always are though, aren't you, as a parent? We did the other day. My kids love mash and then they're really good at eating their veg and stuff. And then the other day I was like doing the mash. And I was like, I'm just going to fry the mash up and then I'm going to put all the veg in it. And it turned out with like, it was like a buttery bubble and squeak thing I know, it was really nice. And as they were eating it, I was like, I'm going to have a portion of this. And then we had a bit of meat on it. Like it was just really simple, but I just put it all in together and I was suddenly like, I'm cooking here. I'm freestyling. I mean, I know I was only frying up mashed potato, but that's really good for me. Frozen fruit and veg lasts much longer and easy on the pocket. Agree or disagree?
Agree, 100%. Yeah. I think there is no such thing as bad fruit or veg, whether it's fresh, tinned, frozen, whatever. Like, let's just get more fruit and veg in our diet. I think it's horses for courses. I think some things, you know, I would prefer the fresh version of, but frozen fruit and veg, I think is fabulous. It certainly has its place. You're right. There is no wastage with it. And I think then what we should also be, I think some people have a disconnect between they sort of acknowledge you can buy something frozen and then wouldn't think about freezing a fresh version of it. So they might know full well that you can buy frozen strawberries, but would never think about freezing strawberries that they had left over that were imminently about to go in the bin. So right. Like, it's weird because like people go, you know, you can freeze onions. They go, no way. It's like, yeah, but you know you can buy frozen onions. Oh yeah, no, I knew you could buy frozen onions, but I didn't realize you could freeze onions.
Yeah, you're so,
you're so right.
I'd never freeze an onion, but I live by chopped frozen onions. I love
so them. Anything you can buy Amazing. Frozen, you can freeze at home. So sometimes you need to parboil it. You know, just like, so if you were to freeze some vegetables, just give them a quick like blanch, tiny little boil in boiling water, get them out, drain them, let them cool, put them on a tray separately so they're not touching. That's quite important. Freeze them. Then once they're frozen, and that won't take long, that will take about 25 minutes. Oh. Once they're frozen, you can then consolidate them, put them in a bag. Now they won't stick together. You can literally just take out one floret at a time.
That's really interesting.
The freezer is the key to so many things. It's a key to, you know, saving you time, saving you money, and massively reducing your food waste.
And then when you cook with them, would you just put them straight in the pan, or do you just put them, do you have to defrost the bag? Like, don't they go mushy? How does that, what is that? I've never done
that. No, you just take them out, put them straight in a pan of boiling water. They, you know, you've already parboiled them, so they you won't cook them as long. But yeah, I mean, you're talking minutes.
It's the same as if you buy it, like literally just exactly the same as when
it's
you
exactly
buy it, like
the same.
Buy frozen peas or whatever. This is another thing that we talk about a lot, lunchbox ideas. So someone's asked for great recipes for the lunchbox and snacks that don't involve egg.
Oh, yeah, great. So I think, you know, it depends on where you are and what you're doing. Presumably this is a child-related question, I would assume.
Yeah.
So I think it's... whether you have the facility to warm something up or not. I would imagine if it's a school packed lunch, that isn't the case. So obviously sandwiches is obviously the go-to. You can take that into different directions, you know, maybe make it with a small little roll, you know, put it in a wrap. Sushi, I think would be, I know that sounds bonkers, but we love making sushi, but we don't, you know, they really don't have it with raw fish, but you could do it with like a slightly cut up fish finger or a chicken goujon, or you could
just do it with cucumber,
some pepper, you know, some veggies in there. And actually, do you know what? Making sushi with your kids is hilarious.
I so want to do that because mine love sushi. It's like their favorite thing to eat, but we just buy it from the supermarket and it's so expensive. I'm like, we're not getting that every week. So we could just make it at home, right?
So easy to make at home. Yeah. Okay. And they sell it everywhere now. You can get a pack of sushi rice. So you just cook that in the same way that you would cook normal rice. You can season that with some rice wine vinegar and sugar if you want, but you don't have to. Then you can get like a little mat. And again, these are like, a couple of quid, and you can get them everywhere. And then you just roll it up and put, you know, so basically you flatten your rice out onto your mat. Then put whatever you want in as if you were making like a wrap or a fajita or a burrito, and then just roll it up. And that's a great little lunchtime thing. You know, you could definitely do that. The kids would love it. I appreciate you're not doing that every day. I get that.
How far in advance can you do that? Because I used to, my son would never eat sandwiches. And when he was at preschool, I used to go and buy, like Zoe said, off of the sushi counter, like little avocado sushi and cucumber sushi and stuff, and put that in his lunchbox. But that was like $3.50 a little pack, you know, and I was doing that every day, which is crazy. But I didn't know how long and like how, say if I was just doing avocado sushi or cucumber sushi, just like a vegetable one, how far in advance can you prep that and it be all right?
Well, I mean, there's my official hat, which I will give you.
Non-official hat. Like what would you give your kids?
3-4 days easy.
Okay, no problem. Fine. So you could make on a Sunday.
Depends on what's in it. Depends on what's going in it. But like you say, cucumber or avocado, something like that. You know, that's a very low risk food group. The only thing you've got to be careful of is you don't want to be changing that temperature of the rice. So make sure that once you've cooked it and cooled it down, it then doesn't get warmer again. Okay. So as long as it stays in the fridge, you make it, cool it, chill it in the fridge properly, follow the serving and storing information on the pack, you'll be perfectly safe for a good 2 or 3 days.
What's the thing about rice? Because I hear like horror stories about it. Like sometimes I'll get it out of the fridge if we've had it in a takeaway and then I'm like putting it in the microwave and my husband's always like, oh, we need to be a bit careful with that because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I don't know. What you can't reheat rice, or you have to reheat it at a certain temperature?
You have to. It's the same with everything. You need to be careful. It's basically, the problem is bacteria will grow on it. So you need to, there's two things you need to do. Take the temperature down quickly as possible. Okay. So you, once it's warm, you want to cool it down. So there's ways of doing that. You can stick it in the fridge. You don't really want to be putting hot things in the fridge because it will mess around with the temperature and potentially reduce the shelf life of other things. Don't panic. Like it's not Armageddon. Like, you know, we're not, oh my God, we start the stopwatch. We've got to get the temperature right now, but just get it cool as quickly as you can without panicking. And then cool it properly in the fridge. And then you've got to make sure you reheat it properly. That's the thing. That's all you've got to do, because bacteria loves, you know, warm ambient temperatures, you know, so you need to make sure you chill it properly and then heat it up properly, and it's perfectly safe. But all this information is on the packets and stuff. But like, but rice is something that we are particularly worried about, and you know, have all heard horror stories about.
Yeah.
But that's where it's been just left out on the counter. You know, it's that benefit, and then not reheated properly. As long as you chill and reheat your food thoroughly, you will be fine. There's also lots of dates you see on food, and I know that this is a cause of confusion for lots of people. So you have potentially 3 dates. You'll have the sell by date, a best before date, and a use by date, or display until, sell by date, best before, and then use by date. So ignore the first two. They're not safety issues in any way, shape, or form. So a sell by date is none of our business. It's none of our concern. That's for the retailer to know that they are giving a product enough time to sit on the shelves and then in our fridge or cupboards before we get to eat it. Okay. So that's just for them. The best before date is not a safety issue. That's a quality issue. What a manufacturer or producer is saying is, I can guarantee that cereal or that soup or whatever will be taste perfect up until that date. It's about flavor. It's about texture. It's about quality. It's not about safety. And then the third and final one is a use by date. That is a safety issue. So you have to be mindful of those. But the other two dates prior to that, you can absolutely ignore and you will not notice. I've eaten things that are a year, 2 years beyond their best before date, and they are perfectly fine. You wouldn't tell them.
I'm one of those ones. I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to eat it, unless it's like stinking from the fridge.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll smell it.
Sniff test. Use your senses. Absolutely.
Chris, can we talk about kind of cost saving exercises? Because I don't know if you'll agree with this, George, but I'm definitely not the person that goes to the supermarket, let's say, you know, on a Sunday, does my weekly shop, and then I don't go back again for the week. I'm doing drips and, you know, oh yeah, we've run out of this and we need this, and I'm not meal planning, and suddenly we're going to the supermarket, you know, 2 or 3 times a week and picking stuff up, and it's just, and there's a bit of food wastage and stuff. So what is the most cost effective way of doing your weekly shop, and can you feed a family? What but like budgeting wise, what should we sort of be aiming at if we're, let's say we're feeding a family of 4, feeding a family of 5, in terms of cost at the supermarket per week, do you think, in your opinion?
Firstly, I think you would be a perfect candidate to be on Eat Well for Less. So I'll take that as a verbal application.
Oh my God, please.
So, come round, Chris. And it's boring. This answer is boring, but it's the actual fact of the matter. Meal planning is the key. Because if you find yourself going into the supermarket multiple times. And don't get me wrong, that works for some people. Some people, you know, there is no right or wrong way to shop, okay? If you want to shop daily and you have the time and the inclination to go and shop every day, there can be benefits to that. Because you shouldn't be wasting food. You should be buying little and often. There can be advantages to that. However, invariably, it is not the most cost-effective way, because a supermarket is absolutely amazing at selling us stuff. That's what it's there for. That is its primary job. Its raison d'etre, its reason for being, is to save, to get you to spend your money. That's what it's there for. So the more often you go into this emporium of marketing and advertising and wonderment, the more likely you are to be parted with your hard-earned money, unless you are exceptionally disciplined.
No.
However, but there is no right or wrong. One big shop, weekly shops. And I think now we sort of sit somewhere in the two of those. We do a big shop and then we do some top-up shops. Most people will know the cost of their big shop. Most people. What we have a bit of a blind spot for is these top-up shops. And that's where the money really starts to add up. If you're going into a supermarket two or three times a week and dropping another 20, 25, possibly even more pounds, that adds up. Sometimes people's top-up shops adds up to more than their big shop. So meal planning is the absolute key. Sit down, as I said earlier, with your family, with everybody that's going to be eating the meals, decide what you are going to be eating. Then write a list of the things you need to make those meals. Then cross-reference that list with what you already have in your cupboards. You will be surprised at how many tins of chickpeas and chopped tomatoes and bags of rice and bags of pasta you are already in possession of. So you don't need to buy those, potentially. Then go and stick to the list. Do not deviate from the list, okay? Don't be, don't do that form of, oh, that looks nice shopping, because I promise you that will not only cost you money, but increase your food waste. So stick to the list as much as possible. And I'm not saying don't get some treats, but just put them on the list. Like, be honest with yourself. If you're going to buy some chocolate, stick it on the list and only buy what it is you're going to, you know, that you've got. And then stick to the meal plan. Try and reduce the amount of multiple meals that's going on. That is a surefire way to waste money. You know, lots of us do it. Try and stick as much as possible to eating the same meal. But it's tough. In terms of how much should you spend, you know, the average, say an average for a family of say four in this country is around the sort of £80 mark. So you are looking roughly at £20 a head per week, roughly. But that's the average. So there'll be some very low figures in there sort of distorting that as well. Yeah. And some very high figures, you know, some of us that frequent Ocado, for example, will be spilling that out.
I mean,
of
Georgia, what would you say? Two?
Oh, my God. I just can't. I mean, I've got an Ocado shop coming tonight and I've got four meals on it and I think it's 170 quid.
Loader!
But I bought Clarence Cool eggs and I won't go back. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's like certain things.
Have you bought £160 worth of Clarence Cool eggs?
No, but I bought £15 worth of smoked salmon.
Oh, Georgia, I love your honesty. I love where you're being right, though.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I just it's bad, though. It's bad.
In your defence, the thing is, some things aren't, we don't work on a week-to-week basis in its purest form. Mm. So some of that stuff that you've bought will presumably go into another week.
I'm just looking now.
You don't know how much smoked salmon she eats, Chris. She's literally scuffing it all day long.
Do you know what it is? I buy things like these posh chopped tomatoes that are like £2.50 a tin.
Whoa, you are joking.
Look at those beautiful tins.
And what do you do with those?
She bathes in them at night.
Washes her hair in them.
I do like cooking, but I just get... Actually, these were on offer. They're normally £2.40. They're £1.40 today.
For one tin?
For a tin of tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Are they chopped tomatoes?
No, we were in disgust over this end here.
That's a lot of money. But anyway,
no
judgment. You do whatever you want. If you've got it, do it. Who cares?
Like, let's both go on this Eat Well for Less program, because I think
well, I think I have taken I have put them both down as applicants.
I think we do need to go.
Although you're going to come around tomorrow and go, what's your meal plan? I go, well, Monday it's sometimes crunchy nut cornflakes for dinner. Tuesday hummus. Wednesday I might do a spag bol. Like, it just depends. It's mad because some sometimes I'm really on it. And I love cooking. When I get into it, I really, really enjoy it. But I've got this pre-programmed idea in my head that I won't be constricted by meal planning. Like, it's like, it, like you just said at the beginning, Chris, it's like, oh, it's a hassle. It's too much happening. I've got too much going on in my life. So I'm like, what are we having today? I'll just open the fridge and be like, oh, we'll just make this. But it does cause a lot of problems. And you're absolutely right. All of the tips and everything you've said has made complete sense. And I always feel really inspired. I feel inspired actually to do more.
Just very quickly on that, what we do, so, but by not spending that 10 minutes meal planning, what we are doing is we are basically putting ourselves on a best home cook or a master chef or some bake-off format every night. You know, there's a reason they just go rustle something up out of those ingredients, because it's difficult.
Yeah.
So we are basically giving ourselves a cookery competition format challenge every night in the comfort of our own home, just to save ourselves 10 minutes planning. Like, plan, please. If everybody takes one thing away from this, it's just meal plan and make it fun. Put some music on, let everybody plan. You know, get on the online, pick up some new recipes if you want. Maybe have like one night or don't plan for the weekend. Plan Monday to Friday.
Yeah, that's what I don't plan the weekend. I do actually plan. I mean, this is the thing. I should save money because I do actually do those things. I sit down with the kids and it's like they can pick a meal. I mean, Gigi, my 2-year-old, doesn't pick a meal because she would literally just eat peas and pick a mix or something. But we do sit there. But then I'm the one who's like, oh, look, those chopped tomatoes look nice. I get those ones instead. Oh, yeah, that Daylesford mint, that looks so much better. I'll get that. And so, yeah.
You're allowed to treat yourself, though. And I think, you know, you work hard and I think you're really good. You definitely don't need to beat yourself up because you're the one that sort of introduced the idea of actually family cooking to me. And it is, you know, so I think you're coming from a better position in that sense. But obviously there are ways in which we could save money. And I definitely think, you know, we probably need to have a conversation. Another conversation with Chris around that.
Yes, we do. I think
we've gone through all the questions though. And Chris, is there anything that you want to say on like a parting note to any of our listeners?
Just be kind to yourselves and each other. I think don't be too hard. So my oldest is 9 now. We've had trouble with him with food. You know, he's a good boy. He's a really good boy. But we have gone through those phases where I won't eat this, I won't eat that. You can now put anything in front of that boy and he will eat it. And that's not, Cole, congratulations to me. That they will grow out of it.
Yeah, they come through the other side.
Don't make mealtimes a battleground. Life is too short. If they eat pasta, let them eat the pasta, but just try and put a different, you know, spin on it with a bit of veg or whatever. If they really want to sit on and, you know, eat on their lap, like, let them do it as a treat every now and then. Like, pick your battles is basically what I'm trying to say. Like, life is too short. Make it fun as much as possible. Like, and don't think that anybody is doing it perfect. Even the people that we look up to and admire and revere on social media, it's not, you know, that's not real. Okay. They will also be having that. I'm not eating that. I don't, you know, da da da. Everybody has it. Every parent has it to some degree or another. Don't be too hard on yourselves. Your children are alive, fit, and well. Congratulate yourselves. Do the best you can do, and it will all be okay.
Chris, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been so lovely chatting.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Oh my God, please nobody judge me for spending £2.40 on tomorrow. Do you know what? I genuinely, after I said that, I thought, oh my God, people are going to think I'm a complete dickhead.
No.
I am a complete dickhead for doing that. And I realised that, but I don't know. And that night I went and used 2 tins of them in a sauce and they were delicious. Yeah. But I am going to do a taste test.
I'm going to blindfold you next time I see you. And instead of us drinking, we're going to be tasting tin tomatoes, George. You know what though? Like, no one's going to judge you. I make ridiculous choices, you know, and it's all a learning curve. And actually, he really made me think about what we're consuming as a family. And actually, I think I'm pretty good when it comes to sort of secondhand toys and buying off Facebook Marketplace. But when it comes to food shopping, I don't do any meal planning. I just do not. And I'm doing the same 5 meals on rotation for the kids. You know, when it comes to me and Dozer, I'm like, should we get a takeaway? Because I need to go on a cookery course. That would, and I love cooking. It's not like I don't enjoy it. I genuinely do not know what to do.
I think that's the hardest part though, because I go through phases. In fact, anyone who follows us on Instagram will see I go through phases where I'm like posting new recipes all the time. And then I just kind of have periods where I'm just making those same recipes over and over and over again until we get sick of them. And then I get inspired again. But it is, it's a lot. It's just another thing, isn't it? Like to add to the list. But I love his idea of getting everyone involved because, I mean, there's four, you know, there's four in our family, there's five in yours. If everybody picked a meal, that would be it then, wouldn't it? It would be done.
Yeah, it would be eating fish fingers a lot more, I think, if my kids pick the meals. Listen, we need to get into the products. So, George, you're going to kick us off.
Yes, I'm going to kick us off. So I have been looking for gifts for Gigi. I've really learned from Axel where we just used to buy him everything, like at Christmas. We just felt like he had to have loads of stuff. And actually, so much of it we ended up giving away, giving to charity shops. And it was just a bit of a waste. So I stumbled across Alexa and Alexa, the children's clothing website. They had a toy sale and it's actually still going, and I just collected some of the bits from the post office, and like it's like a beautiful little doll's wooden crib,
lovely.
Some lovely like wooden letters, like a doctor's set, but just really just gorgeous and not expensive. So just that, just you know, as an idea of somewhere to look for these kind of gifts, Alexa and Alexa, brilliant.
Okay, fabulous. I like that. I'm going to share my ultimate favourite foundation because it's recently come into my life. You use it as well. It's the NARS Sheer Glow Foundation, which gives an amazing coverage, like quite a full coverage. It wouldn't be my day-to-day foundation, but obviously we've got Christmas parties galore, drinks with mates. I am either a Stromboli shade or a Barcelona. I mix the two together. It gives really lovely dewy finish, but it covers up any kind of blemishes that you've got or issues with your pores or spots or whatever, breakouts, whatever it is. So it is a bit expensive. It's about £28, but it lasts for months and months
months.
It's like once every 6 months I buy a new one.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I've got three shades which I have to mix, like depending on how much fake tan I've got or whatever. But you know what you can buy? Because you know there's no little sort of pump in the foundation.
You
can just buy one, and that's actually a tip because it lasts so much longer if you buy the pump to go
on the top. Didn't know that.
Yeah,
go online and buy a pump now.
Yeah, there we go. So actually we're working with this brand, but one of my friends sent me a gift from this brand about a year ago. They're called Proper Goose and they're all personalized gifts. So a good friend of mine, I can't remember what I was going through, something was going on, and she sent me a tin with my name on it, and it was all sweets in it, and it was really, really nice. But we're working with them. Like they do teachers' gifts, like lovely notebooks, Christmas Eve boxes, personalised wreaths, just something a bit different if you're struggling in the
gift and the product department. Comes in a really nice packaging as well.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of card and you just sort of slide the product out of it. Just really wrapped lovely. Yeah, we really like them as a brand. So yeah, we're excited to be working with them as well. And from Proper Goose to secondhand Black & Decker workbench that I got. From Facebook Marketplace for Kit for his Christmas present. Obviously, as you know, I have spent some money on buying toys from Amazon, but my whole thing with the big presents is that I try and source them secondhand, and I just think he's going to go absolutely bonkers. He's so into drilling, a bit like his dad. And it's got all the accessories to go with it, and it's got like little screws that you can screw. I mean, all the innuendos. Drilling and screwing. Over to you, George.
Oh, I can't really match up to that. I'm just going to go boring now. No, so actually, Zoe doesn't wear pyjamas, so she will not be interested in this. But I am a sucker for a matching PJ. I mean, I get so many pairs throughout the year for me and the kids. James not included. He will not get involved.
No, good.
But Nobody's Child have just launched a range of matching PJs and they are absolutely gorgeous. I love button-up PJs, like little floral patterns. So they are going to be mine and Gigi's Christmas pyjamas.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Love that. Brilliant. Right, that is the end of the podcast. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow. And Georgia, we're still loving getting the photos of where you're listening to the podcast, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I think someone was listening with like a glass of bubbles in the hot tub in their garden the other night. And that was great to see. But we are looking at New Year episodes. So if you've got any suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, guests you'd like to see or hear from, then please just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas and we will be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.